Welcome to the Luma Roundtable, a podcast where we pick an album and focus on it every month and then come together to discuss it as a group. Today we're joined with Danny McGuire calling in from London. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
All good. Thank you.
Cool. And then obviously co-host Henry calling in from Colorado. What's up, bud?
Hey, second banana in the house.
Okay. And I'm your host, your other co-host, Karina Abbott, calling in from Orlando. So the album this month is I by Lykke Lee. I hope that I'm pronouncing the name of both of those things correctly.
Got the name wrong. I think it's Lykke Lee, I think.
Lykke Lee?
Yeah, I'm saying it in a Scottish accent, but
something. No, that sounds better though. Her full name is Lee Lykke Timotej Zachrisson.
Great name.
She's from Sweden. She's 36. Swedish singer, songwriter, and model, apparently. This is her fifth studio album. There's not a whole lot of background about her on the internet. I tried to do a little research, but her mom was a photographer. Her father is a member of a Swedish punk reggae band. Super interesting. And then her younger brother is also a musician. And then when I got into like her past stuff, I realized she's been in like so many like TV shows, teen TV shows and teen movies, like in the US. I've definitely heard her music like a lot. Like she's been featured in stuff since like 2009. Yeah. And I hadn't heard of her till So Sad, So Sexy, which was 2018.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I've been listening to her for like 9 years longer than I thought.
Oh my goodness. She can't kind of became sort of famous over here. I think mid-2000s, you know, when like the kind of indie Brit thing was kind of going on. So you got the Libertines and stuff like that. And she kind of came around just around then. We have a couple of amazing albums at the start, and she was just like a real part of that scene. So I guess I'm showing my age because I'm almost the same age as her. So,
but it's excellent though. I like it's great having folks who aren't from America on the show because the world experiences music in different ways. And her being like a Swedish artist, you know, I think she maybe like made her impact stronger in Europe before kind of coming to America.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He's living in LA though, I think. So it's just like proper. Okay.
A suite in LA.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, kind of like Karina. I was maybe aware of her name, but it wasn't until like the last couple of years that I like maybe would say I was actually aware of her. So it's cool that she was like rocking it in the UK at least, or some parts of Europe at least, well before that.
She's mega famous, I think. Yeah. I don't know, you two.
It's cool.
Goths have been up to over there, but she's pretty famous. Like on the Matt Ronson album, she's done Late Night Feelings with him.
Yeah, and she's done some incredible like projects with other people. Like, I don't know, she did something with Kanye, she's done something, yeah, Mark Ronson. Like she's definitely very famous. But I just was surprised. I
mean, what are you two been up to there, eh? Like
living under a rock.
I wasn't expecting her to be in stuff. Like she had a song in Twilight, and she was had songs in like Pretty Little Liars and The Vampire Diaries and Teen Wolf and like these shows that like I watched.
Oh right, yeah. I was way too old for that. Yeah, like.
And she was in like a lot of stuff like that, which you wouldn't expect. And I just realized like I've been listening to her since 2009. Didn't even know. I think right. The first song. I guess we're already kind of into it, but I was gonna first thing is like getting into how we first heard this artist and like got into her music. So for me, I think I Follow Rivers was the first song of hers I ever heard. I think it was in a movie or something that I saw, and then I was like, oh, this is a great song. So the So Sad So Sexy album was the first album that I like listened to. I was like, okay, I like her music. But that's kind of the extent of it. And then realizing that I had a much, you know, longer track record of listening to her than I thought. She's been in so much, like so many soundtracks and stuff. What about you guys?
after you, Henry. You go first.
Oh, sure. Well, I don't have a great depth of knowledge. I think the first time I was aware of Licky Lee, or sorry, what would he decide is it Likey, Licky?
I think you nailed it. You got it right.
Okay. The Twilight film series that came out, I think, Karina, which you just mentioned, had an interesting soundtrack. I was definitely like messing around with some of those soundtracks. And so I think I had downloaded whatever film she had a song in. And so she was in my iTunes, you know, library for a while. And if you're looking at the top of your M artists, you're seeing Licky Lee. And so I was kind of more just aware of her in that sense, like it exists and I know that's there. But as far as like her music, probably a similar situation to Ukraine where I heard it all over the place and kind of wasn't just cognizant that that's who it was or kind of what was there. But I did date someone who listened to a lot of Licky Lee, and I'm sure just through that exposure, I've heard a ton of sort of maybe more of the earlier stuff, like the 2010 era. Or closer to the earlier stuff, but it's all been good. I think actually I kind of wasn't sure what my opinion of her was when I put on this album that we're going to talk about today, but it's like stellar. I was like so blown away at how good this record was. So I'm glad that this album gave me a chance to actually kind of explore her a little deeper, because I just kind of had that surface level knowledge before.
Oh, cool. It's a belter. I've been a fan for ages. I've kind of always liked her. I guess she came out, she's part of that indie kind of scene at that time. Well, she wasn't really part of it, but she came out at that time. So I remember thinking classic records. And then she worked with like the producer who actually produced this one as well. I think it's the guy from Peter Bjorn and John. I think it's Bjorn who she worked with, and that was a kind of collaborator.
Yeah.
So I like that. I liked that band as well, and the Sonics were quite similar. And the original and her sort of original records, but actually Sonic's quite similar in this one too, so I really like that. And then she was on like a Drake mixtape. I don't know if you remember that. A Little Bit was in a Drake mixtape around I think 2008 or 9 or something like that. So it kind of became again like a big kind of hit. And then she had a couple other records I was really into. Then that Mark Ronson album came out, and I'm obsessed with that album. Her kind of tracks on it. There's another one called 2 AM. It's one that's just a classic for me. And it was So Sad, So Sexy was good as well. But and then this new one, so a bit of a fanboy over here.
So should we dive into this album in particular? Danny, you picked this album for us this month. It sounds like you're just a Licky Lee like super fan. So was it just you were excited for it to come out? Did you know it was coming out?
Well, it kind of came out right as I was having a breakup. So yeah. It came out and then I was dying with this breakup, and I thought, well, I'm looking forward to hearing this record because I've been a fan for ages, and I'm really interested in that she started working with that producer again. I thought, that's going to be cool. But then this album just fucking ripped my heart out, you know? I was like, fuck, Jesus Christ, what's happening here? So,
yeah, it's like about a breakup. It's like a breakup album.
It's quite similar to some of the things I was feeling, I guess. And then I was quite interested in it as a piece of art as well. And I listened to it a lot around that time, a bit earlier in the year. And I didn't listen to it. I found it quite hard to listen to. It wasn't something that I would just like fire on, you know? And then I listened to it a bit again for, like just in prep for this chat. And I was like, oh God, just fucking killed me again, you know? So it's like, I guess that's a sign of a good piece of work though, isn't it?
Definitely, I think. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of music that I can just put on and it's like my comfort music and it's like, it makes me feel good. But then when you get a chance to dig into something that like doesn't necessarily make you happy, but is a beautiful piece of art and you want it and you like, before you force yourself to like dig into it and listen to the whole thing or read the whole thing or whatever it is, I think it's worth it. It's like, you definitely get something out of that. So.
100%.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing it to our attention, because it's a great album. It's really
cool.
I loved it.
I'm glad.
Yeah, super tight album. Although very sad, obviously, like you had mentioned. Super focused record. Like I didn't think there was any fat on the whole project. So if you're talking about it kind of like this art project, I thought it was just incredibly well structured.
Definitely. The production is really interesting as well, like as a whole. Like I think I sort of read into it a little bit. And I think that what they were doing, it was they were recording it. I don't know if you're making a record, so the vocals goes into a vocal booth and all the rest of it is very isolated. That didn't happen, I don't think. I think they sort of recorded it in the room with the sound coming out the monitors. So there's a lot of, like, you would call it bleed. So there's kind of, you can hear the music in the background of the vocal track and stuff like that. And I think that's would really help create this interesting world. There's a real world in that record, and I think it's designed to be sort of looped around. You could just keep it on repeat almost if you wanted to bawl your heart out all night, you know, burst out crying. But I think that was a big part for me that kind of really got me, aside for the actual songs themselves, just as this kind of weird world. I think all these wee elements have contributed to that. It makes it really cool.
Yeah, it's cool to hear you call out a specific example of that, because I heard that a lot on the record and kind of wondered myself. It just felt too simple or basic to call it like ethereal, but yeah, you drawing attention to that like vocal track and how it was mixed perhaps is super interesting, because I think I totally hear what you're talking about.
Definitely.
That's quite a kind of lo-fi way of making a record. Like, I guess now things are hyper-produced and it's very like isolated and built up and stuff like that. And the other sort of side of that coin is that it goes really lo-fi and it sounds a bit scuffy, and this isn't really in either of those. It's, which I think is really quite cool. The vocal is really just pristine. It's perfect. But there's also like lo-fi elements to the tracks and hi-fi. It's all blended together. And I think that's really inspiring, like as a sonic piece. Like, I'm really interested in that.
Yeah.
Man, what an insight. I love that thought. Like, I totally hear what you're saying on the album, man. Like, that's perfect. Well, I can tell you're a real fan, like that you like listen to the record for sure.
I think like there's a few like artists I'm really interested in how they go about things, and she's sort of one of them. And different artists for different reasons, I suppose. But when you hear an album, I'm almost not even bothered about the songs at the first. I just want to hear it, how it's presented. And this one's a really unique example of that.
Yeah. Do you mix your own music, Danny?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm in the middle of a really long project now, which is just doing my head in, actually. But I felt a bit of relief, actually, because when I was looking into this album, I think she started it in 2019, which is the same time I started the record with my band that I'm working on now, which is almost finished. So she managed to beat me, but I've got a full-time job to pay the bills, so I'm going to just say we're evens at the moment. But
yeah. Well, cool. We're going to have to come and talk about your record when it's out.
Yeah, hopefully it comes out. My goodness, whatever.
I will. It will.
Definitely. Okay, back to Licky. The whole looping thing, I like that you pointed that out too, because I don't always look up if the album has music videos, but I often will, because I think that it says a lot about the album and like the artist, if they do a music video and how they do the music video. And she did like several, like four or five of the songs have their own music video. And I thought, whoa, like that's really expensive, like she really must put up a lot of like the production of it, and they are really well made. But the way that she did it is they're loops, they're all like a minute or two long, and they loop, and that is for as long as the song is, so it loops like five or six times, and it's just like a one piece of a scene or one piece of a movie. And it's really interesting if you haven't like looked at it to see what it's like. I would, because it kind of adds to like the whole full piece of art that the album is. And then also on that note, I saw on her Facebook page that this is going to be part of like a museum project as well. And she's going to be like featured in an exhibition the installation and performance will connect visitors to the Broad's special exhibition, Takashi Murakami Stepping on the Tail of a Rainbow, which if you go and look at Takashi Murakami's art, it's like super colorful and crazy and not what you would expect to be the background of like a breakup album. So I don't know. It's just really interesting digging into like what she's doing with this and how full broad spectrum it is.
Yeah, I think the visual part is like 50% of the album, isn't it? Like, it's really beautiful, the video, but I find it really hard to connect with videos, if I'm honest, and it's pure ignorance on my part. I thought they were really amazing. but I never get excited about them, if you know what I mean. Like, and I think that's where not just music videos, but like I work at an arts university and it was like the graduate show lately and it, some unbelievable work, but there was like a lot of video elements as well. And although it looks amazing and I just think like so talented to do that, I can never like fall into it the way I can fall into like something else, a painting or even a photo, that I can sort of fall into that world. But I find it really hard with video. I don't know why. I think maybe just desensitized for bad TV or something.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
It's more about me than people that make amazing videos, though. It's me that's the idiot here, but that's just my experience.
Yeah. No, I get that. I think when you can, a video, I think, like takes away the imagination part of it, because it's showing you, it's just, you're just watching something, somebody else's imagination, but with a picture or a painting, a still, and then with something audio, you have to fill in the rest.
It's a really good point. Yeah.
So, and I guess you just enjoy doing that.
Maybe it's pure diva. Maybe it's got to be about me, otherwise I can't be interested. Maybe that's what it is, just pure narcissism or something like that.
Any particular parts of the album or aspects of it that we want to talk about? Songs, favorite lines, stuff like that?
I think you and I, 5D and Carousel, I think they're like 5, 6 and 7 in the opposite order actually. But I thought they were just like the kind of peak of it. Like, really, the album really gets to, it's almost like the middle of it. And it's just like, oh my goodness. I thought that was... Great, is a really great synth line at the end of Carousel. Sounds like some kind of classic Kraftwerk synth or something like that, a really beautiful synth. And I think at the end of the last song, I think the last song's over, but there's like a couple of minutes of just atmospheric kind of, I don't know, it's her kicking about the house or something like that. And I really liked that because we've sort of done something similar in our record, like having this weird soundscape. And it, I was like, well, wow, maybe people are going to think we're totally off the wall for doing that. And the fact that she did it sort of emphasized, no, I think we're onto something with that kind of vibe. I think that's kind of cool. So they were my kind of key standouts.
Yeah, I like that soundscape moment on the album a lot. So thumbs up on putting that in your album. I love the soundscape, especially hearing what your thoughts are on just your senses and how you appreciate visuals versus audio experiences. You sound like a guy who would probably put together a mean soundscape.
Give it a go. I'll let you hear it and see what you think.
Yeah. But yeah, I like that part of the album a lot as well. And I thought hearing her sound, I don't want to say like stripped down or pared down, but I think she was a little more selective in the sonic, you know, offerings on this. Like you mentioned, maybe there was some like Kraftwerk era synthesizers or something like that, and I definitely wondered if I heard some like older synthesizers on it, but not in like the oh we got a Wurlitzer check it out kind of way, but you know these synthesizers have a lot of sound to them, and usually with electronic albums I sometimes maybe get lost in a lot of that because it can be so much, but this was so simple and I think really pure in a way that let you kind of tease out these little sonic moments throughout the album, which I think is kind of a gift that she has maybe from her pop experience making music translate to the audience, because a lot of electronic music I think fails to just be bigger than its technology, you know. I don't know if that makes any sense.
100%.
Yeah, definitely. I think this album was a little bit slower for her and more stripped down than her other stuff, so I think that definitely comes across and a really beautiful way.
What was your favorite track, Karina?
Over was really good. I think that one's my favorite, the one I've listened to the most. But also Highway to Your Heart, Happy Hurts, and Carousel, I thought was a really beautiful transition there too. I don't really have any favorite lyrics or anything like that. Like I did read through the lyrics and there's an interesting part in, I think it's You and I, where there's like a tape that's being rewound back in the first song, but then in the last song, you hear it being played backwards. And
okay, I noticed that.
It's just kind of in the background. Well, I didn't either until I looked at the lyrics. And then okay. You literally see it, it's like written backwards. And I was like, what? But that's just an interesting detail because it's sort of like it plays in with like the loop thing that she's doing in her videos. And then the album is like designed literally to be played in a loop. And bringing you back to the tape being rewound in the first song in the last one. So
that is so cool, seeing these lyrics written backwards. Like I'm imagining if you got like the vinyl and you pulled out the sheet, like I wonder if it would be written backwards there.
Probably.
That's,
I've never seen that before.
I'm a simple man, but that's cool as hell.
That is really cool.
How would we describe this music to someone who's not heard it before?
Oof, that's a good question. I think you would say it's a little world. It's a kind of mystical world. It's got a kind of David Lynch vibe to it, isn't it? Like, in some points. I think she actually did a song with him before, I think, but it's not quite as dark as his world. It's a bit more literal than that, but like you say, there's a little world in here. It's not a fucking banging beats record. I don't even think there's any beats on it, really. Like, it's pretty percussion-y at points, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful piece of art. It's not so much a record as such, is it? Like, it's more of an art item.
Yeah. It reminds me of like those photographs where people take with like a fisheye lens, and it's like a small world, but it's just like picture, it's just like a fisheye lens. You know what I'm talking about? It makes it look like they're on like a tiny planet. It makes me think of that. Or like a panoramic photo that like goes all the way around. I don't know.
Yeah. It is a lot bigger than an album, right? Because like Karina, you mentioned the whole thing with Murakami and all that, and these like music videos.
Yeah, the whole Murakami thing is really interesting. It's on her Facebook, and it's like the first museum project that she's done, I guess. She's working with like a creative director, and it's going to be like the video loops are featured in it with the audio. And then there's also going to be like, she's going to perform there at some point, like a live performance of it. But it's somehow connected with like the Murakami exhibition. And when you look at his artwork, it's just, it wasn't what I expected to see, because like you said, it is like kind of a darker album. And some of the videos, there's a very like visceral, like violence in the videos, kind of like there's like blood, and there's, you know, one of the loops is like, her boyfriend's like kind of dragging her to the car. Like, it's not like super sweet and fluffy, but then his art is super like colorful and happy. Like his, I think that this little flower character is like his drawing. It's like a famous thing that, I don't know, I've definitely seen around places. So I don't know, it's an unexpected duo, an unexpected pairing, but I think it would be a really cool experience to go in and sort of see, like, be able to feel the album in an open space and like see it as well as listen to it.
Where's that happening then? Is that happening? Is that in LA? It's
happening. Broad's Oculus Hall.
Where the fuck is that?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'll look it up and I'll let you know. But I'm maybe in LA, yeah.
It's not sounding very London to me. I think party's over for my side there.
Yeah, it's in LA. It's in LA. Anyway, what about artists? What other artists would you recommend based on this album to people?
There's Peter Bjorn and John vibes to this, like in terms of the, I can't remember, what's the one that starts with the whistle? Is that's over, isn't it? It starts with a kind of weird whistly sound. That's quite similar to, I guess that's Bjorn's kind of sound in it, that kind of reverb whistle thing. He's done a lot of really cool stuff with that. So I think musically there's maybe some elements there, but she's really unique, I think, because she's not like a big blazing pop star looking to get followers. I don't think she's bothered about any of that. And I think that's really cool because she's kind of somebody that could be for the 70s or something, just like a real classy, interesting artist rather than, I don't know, manufacturer. I don't even know what her label is really or anything like that, but I don't think she's probably as big as she could be if she really wanted to be, if you know what I mean. I think she's just an artist, and I think that's makes it really hard to sort of say, she's a bit like that. What would you think?
Yeah, I think that that all makes a lot of sense with like all of the featured projects she's done, all the different people that she's worked with over the years. It's, I think that speaks a lot to her character and how she's just really, she's a very talented individual, but she doesn't take herself too seriously. Like she just does what she likes. And with
her, yeah. I think she does take herself real seriously. Like I think she's probably a bit of a diva, and I, that's why I kind of empathize with her, because I'm a diva as well.
This, it kind of made me think of Laurel Hell, the Mitski album that we did a couple months ago, because that had some real atmospheric vibes to it and just like heart wrenchers. That was the one that I thought of. And then like Toe Blow, that's another one that I said.
Toe Blow?
Yeah.
That pop star, the Stay High one. Oh no, no way.
hard disagree, that's fine.
I'm out.
Well, Danny, then I'm curious. I was going to say Lights as an artist that I felt if you enjoyed Licky Lee, you would enjoy Lights, older stuff. Okay. But not that they're like the same, but I think when you were talking about the Peter Bjorn and John style of production, I was kind of brought back to that time, maybe like late 2000s, early 2010s. And Lights, I certainly listen to a ton. I don't think she's maybe as like multifaceted as Licky Lee. But I, you know, if you're into that kind of synthy heartbreak type feel, you can definitely get that out of Lights.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Lights. I can remember a few tracks, but more of the vibe. There's another artist that's like, is it R-H-Y-E? I'm not gonna say it. I don't know how you pronounce that, but you know that artist? Is it Ray or something like that? It's a kind of soft.
Yeah.
Cynthia, that's a real, I just know it from, I think I just saved it in my phone or something, and I really love putting it on, but I don't know anything about them. But that's maybe in the same world, but I don't think it's good personally, but that's just me.
Yeah. That's a good one. I haven't thought about that, them, Rye, or however it's pronounced, in a while.
It's a cracker though, isn't it? It's like a really, just a great record.
Yeah.
Well, we can wrap up here pretty quick. We only have like 3 minutes left, but is there any, like the last question is for sort of final thoughts, comments, or like where would you recommend someone listen to this album? Like what situation or mood would you recommend someone listen to this album?
Thinking a Friday night with a cocktail or something like that by yourself, kind of a dark-ish room.
Would you, since you experienced this, would you recommend listening to this as a breakup album, or would you not?
A breakup's never going to be good, is it? And you might as well have a good album to pair with it, you know, and help you face the pain. So I would say go for it, get it going.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Maybe I kind of pictured like, have you ever stayed up so late? Not necessarily with the intention of staying up late, but you've stayed up so late and then you look out and you start to see the sun has come up a bit further than you thought. This reminds me, like listening to that album gave me almost that feeling, because I kind of just kept listening. And I think when I had put it on Spotify and I was listening through, I had accidentally looped it or turned the loop of the album on. So I was just hearing like 4.5 hours of Licky Lee last night. And I just kind of got that sense like the sun is up. Like I've been somewhere forever and it hasn't seemed like I've been there forever. But when I look out, I notice time has passed me. So it just kind of gave me that feeling. And maybe it's because I listened to it loop over loop over loop. But something about that same feeling you get, because it's almost not, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's not a bad thought, like, oh, I've stayed up and wasted the whole night or whatever. But certainly you're confronted with the fact that the whole night is gone now. And yeah, that's kind of how the album feels.
Time has been warped, or you know, time is the perspective of it is different. Yeah,
right.
I don't think I could top that, honestly. Just yeah, sitting, laying on the floor by yourself, listening to it. You know, I don't think it's a road trip album.
No,
but it's real good.
If I go,
I definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
Thank you both for joining today and thanks, Danny, for the album recommendation. We loved it. So
cool, cool. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you next time.
See you later on.
Cool. Bye all.